And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, you are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 136. As always, this is Tom Harris from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Very warm welcome along to you. And a very warm welcome is exactly what you need, folks, because it is freaking cold outside right now here in Chicago. We have temperatures in the single digits. I believe our high today is supposed to be 5 degrees above zero. Of course, we've got double digits below zero wind chill, which is something you really have to watch out for here in the Windy City. Let us suffice to say, it is freezing here in Chicago. Though by the time this show is actually published, which is usually, well, it's always on Thursday, it's supposed to be back in the double digits again, so we'll be back to something closer to our normal weather pattern around here. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit tired of these polar vortexes coming along and freezing our city. This time it's not my fault, folks. After all, I did have a week off last week, and for which I apologize. You know, I know most of you out there probably really don't mind if I have to miss a week and take a bye week or whatever, but I do always feel guilty. And the time I start feeling guilty is Wednesday night, the night before the show usually publishes, when I usually have the satisfaction of knowing that the show is recorded, it has been edited, and it has been uploaded, and is just waiting for publication to fall into your hot little hands. Anyway, big news coming out of C2E2 this week, folks, our good friends over there. And don't forget, Radio Free Asgard will be appearing at C2E2 this year. And that is the last weekend of April 2014 at the McCormick Place. And if anybody of you is planning on attending C2E2, let me know. It'd be great to say hello. Just come drop by our table. We are participating in C2E2 as an exhibitor. So speaking of which, I got to get cracking on, you know, business cards and shit for that because I haven't done a goddamn thing. Anyway, big news from C2E2. None other than Smilin' Stan Lee has announced that he is going to be a guest at C2E2. I suppose I am hoping beyond hope that I will have a chance to talk to Stan Lee at the convention. I realize that, you know, obviously, a comic celebrity of his stature is probably not going to want to talk to some rinky-dink podcast, but you never know, you know. I'm hoping to be able to, very, very least, to meet Stan, shake his hand, tell him how much I've enjoyed his work over the years. And hopefully I'll get that chance. And if I have any opportunity to get him on the show, you know I'm going to jump at it because, you know, he's 90 years old, folks. He's not going to be around forever, as much as we'd like our heroes to be around forever. And speaking of Stan, of course, we are going to continue on with our coverage of the Lee Kirby run. So let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed. And this week we are beholding in breathless wonder Thor number 164. Has a cover date of May 1969, retailed for 12 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby, inked by Vinnie Coletta. Shows Thor fighting this other guy, who I take it to be Pluto, judging by the guy who appeared last issue claiming to be Pluto. And I just realized what it was that looked wrong about Pluto last issue, and I'll talk about that as we talk about the story. Shows them fighting in the foreground. Thor's kind of crouching down, and he looks like he's getting ready to smack Pluto in the kneecap with Mjolnir, and Pluto has grabbed his hand and is hauling back his right fist as though he's going to punch Thor in the face. Kind of an uncharacteristically physical fight between Thor and Pluto here. And in the background, this is giant green floating head, who in any other issue I would think was Ego, the living planet, because it kind of looks like him. But no, this is somebody else, and we'll find out who within the issue. There's also a great deal of blue and purple Kirby crackle, kind of crackling around them here, which looks pretty awesome. You know how what a fan I am of Kirby Crackle. Anyway, open up to the splash page, and we have the title of the story, Lest Mankind Fail. Story and art are by Stan Lee and Jack King Kirby. Embellisher is Vinnie Coletta, and Sam Rosen was the letterer. So as you recall, last issue, Pluto had succeeded in knocking down Thor and Sif, and apparently in this process, Sif has lost her hat. Her pink skull cap that she was wearing earlier is completely missing in this issue. We have Pluto, of course, who introduced himself in the last page of last issue, taking off his trench coat, saying, "Thor is powerless to stop me now. Thus nothing can save the human race." And Sif is, looks like she's swooning here, and says, "My lord, the fate of Earth is in thy hands. Thou must not falter." And Thor is kind of recovering after being knocked out. And the next page is a full page spread of Pluto himself. Nice picture here by Jack Kirby of Pluto standing in front of a bunch of fire. This is pinup quality, folks. I mean, if there was no dialogue on here, this would still make a really cool pinup. And Pluto is wearing this really elaborate purple and magenta slash pink uniform, and it looks a lot different than what he's worn anywhere in the past. Now, the thing that looks weird about Pluto here, and I didn't realize it, is that in his first appearance, Pluto had a lot more hair. Pluto had this long fringe of hair along the sides and back. He was bald on top, but he had this sort of hair on the back and sides. And here he's completely bald and is more traditionally Satan-y in this picture than we've ever seen him before. And I gather that that fringe kind of comes back later. I think this is just a little bit of inconsistency on Jack's part. But I will say, I don't mind this look for Pluto. It's not that bad. So he throws off the coat and he stands revealed in his purple and pink outfit. "Away with human raiment. The time has come for the master of the underworld to stand revealed as Pluto, lord of the lower depths." And there's fire burning around him and sort of weird Kirby rocks kind of flowing around. "You shall both remain here, prisoners of my time funnel, while I return to 20th century Earth, which lies ripe for conquest." Thor's not having any of that. He's like, "Thor says thee nay. Whilst the Thunder God lives, mortals ne'er shall bow to such as thee."
"And so says Sif,"
says Sif. And we have the mutates, remember them. They're the soldiers of Pluto, and they're pointing guns at Thor and Sif, and they're saying,
"Woman creature, be silent. It is you who will give the master his victory. The son of Odin will not dare to fight Pluto while you are in our gun sights."
"Stay thy hand, bestial one," says Thor. "My lady must be spared."
Pluto knows he's got them in a spot. These guys look kind of like Skrulls in this issue, except they're colored pink. Actually, they remind me in this issue, because they look different this issue than they did last issue. Instead of having the bat ears that they had last time, they now seem to have more Skrull-like ears, or maybe even like Pip the Troll from the old Adam Warlock series, the kind of pointy ears, like elf ears. And Pluto is gloating.
"But before taking domination over all the Earth, I must destroy him who sleeps within yon building." And he's pointing at the building behind.
And this building is the Atomic Research Center that Pluto had transported to the future via his time funnel magical thingy, mabob.
"For I know not the measure of his nameless power." And he's talking, of course, in the last page of last issue, we saw this creature, person, whatever, in some sort of a cocoon-looking thing. Remember that?
Yeah, so that's what Pluto's talking about here.
We then shift scenes to Asgard, and we have a little bit of Stan Lee exposition here. "Hi, true believer. As we did see last issue, a strange and mysterious entity lies within the captive Atomic Research Center. But we are not destined to learn its secret.
Instead, it is now decreed that we hie ourselves thither to fabled Asgard, where momentous events now lie aborning. Nuff said. Anyway. For 'tis here that we find the noble Baldur vainly seeking to outrace a haunting memory. And Baldur's riding a very awkward-looking Kirby horse. Kirby never really did get the swing of horses, anyway. Am I ne'er to escape the spell of enchanted Carnilla? Yeah, I remember he was obsessing over Carnilla last issue. Am I ne'er to drive her haunting visage from my heart? Though thou hast spurned my kiss as guardian, never shalt thou be free of Carnilla's memory, says the memory of Carnilla. Such is the price thou shalt pay. Such is the will of the Queen of the Norns. But renounce thine oath to Odin, and my love shall make thee free.
And I guess he's actually hearing her. I thought it was some sort of a memory, but it's some sort of an illusion or something that Carnilla is casting to Baldur to communicate with him. Either that or Baldur is schizophrenic, and Baldur is responding to her. He says, never. Thou art fairest of the fair. Baldur is warrior born. And he then arrives where he went to go find Odin, who's chilling out on his patio. Looks like a summer home or whatever. And Odin's sitting out on his patio in a lazy boy, and he's picking his big old book in his hands.
Behold, the sovereign supreme of all he surveys, says Baldur. He hath the power to grant Baldur peace.
And Odin's like, alas, 'tis not so, most loyal one.
Sire, thy royal ears didst hear my lament?
Not a cricket chirps, not a leaf doth tremble, save the all-father hears. E'en whilst studying the chronicle of him who is called Galactus, thy liege is saddened, for Odin cannot help thee. Though my power doth surpass all comprehension, not even I can alter the emotion known as love. That which lies within the heart of man and god is internally inviolate.
Now, I wish that they'd told Odin that when he made Thor not love Jane Foster anymore. I'm kind of glad he did that.
But I can offer thee escape, and I shall.
And Odin reaches out his hand and is just kind of crackling with energy, and Baldur looks kind of happy. And he sends Baldur to Earth, and we see kind of flying down to Earth in a ball of energy.
To Earth, then, shalt thou fly, there to seek the god of thunder and his lady Sif.
And Baldur's landing on Earth, and he says, with regal Odin, both word and deed are one. And he lands in New York City, and he sees the energy funnel in the heart of the city, and he has to describe it because, you know, in comics, they speak the obvious.
Yonder, in the heart of the city, a strangely glowing funnel of unearthly cast. What awesome wonderment be that? And what hath it to do with Thor?
And we shift scenes again back to where Thor and Sif are being confronted by Pluto and his mutates. And Pluto saying,
stand aside, Asgardian. He who lies within these walls must now be Pluto's victim.
And Sif rushes to Thor's side.
And Thor's like, lady, to my side. The arm of Thor shall shield thee. Villain, hold thy ground. Thou shalt not pass.
Whatever befalls, we face it together, my princes,
Sif. And she has drawn her sword and is clearly ready to have a tussle here. And Thor draws his hammer back. He says,
the son of Odin doth not timorously await attack. Whilst blood can boil, whilst heart can pound, whilst arm can strike, so striketh Thor. For Asgard!
And he hurls his hammer, and it flies around in a big arc around Thor, which is weird because it looks like he's throwing it straight ahead, but instead it goes in this huge circle, and it smashes all the mutates that are kind of around the edges of the circle. And Sif is like,
thou didst level a dozen, my lord, with but one blow, but their numbers seem truly endless,
and they're attacking. And Thor says, do what thou canst, fair Sif, but Pluto must be mine.
Have a care, my prince. He doth attack thee from thy side.
On thee, my lady. Look to thy blade, that no harm may come to thee.
And Thor punches Pluto right in the face, knocks him back. And the mutates are throwing their spikes and weapons. And there's no, like, conventional weapons in here. They're all, like, they look like street signs and crap that they're attacking them with. And so it's like,
in truth, 'tis too uneven a battle. Ne'er could primitive arms of so savage a horde stand up to the sting of Asgardian steel.
And she's doing pretty well here. And I think she looks better without the hat, I'll be honest. I think she does.
The strength of your limbs is known far and wide, but Pluto has powers to match those of Odin himself.
And Thor's like, thy words blaspheme. None is equal to him who is Allfather, and mighty Mjolnir hath powers to challenge thine own. Powers and oath to transport us all back from whence we came. And he starts whirling Mjolnir around,
and he's created like this, I don't know, what do you call it? It's not the Ajax White Tornado, but it's this sort of vortex web or something, and he's trying to transform, or he's trying to transport Pluto and Sif and he back.
You would return us to the 20th century, witless one. You will fare no better against me there.
And Sif is being overwhelmed by these mutate guys who all of a sudden don't look like they did at all previously. They look just like generic sort of evil people. It's like, and Sif is like, make haste, beloved. Our foes increase in deadly number. And we shift scenes back to Earth, and Baldur is standing in front of this energy vortex, and the soldiers are standing all around it still. And he's talking to them, says, by all let it be known, Baldur hath come to seek the God of Thunder.
He's a friend of Thor's. Let him pass.
Man, despite the nutty getup, I'm sure wouldn't want to tangle with that joker.
And he's talking to Thunderbolt Ross here, the general that looks like Thunderbolt Ross.
We're as much in the dark as you are, mister. That mysterious funnel just appeared out of nowhere and seemed to swallow up the city's atomic research buildings in its center. Later, when the girl followed by Thor came along, they vanished inside as well.
And Baldur says, my course, then, is clear. Where they have gone, so must Baldur follow. And, don't even think, maybe they got disintegrated. They got disintegrated, so I needed to get disintegrated. Anyway. And Baldur tries to break through with his sword, poking it with his sword. He says,
but not even my blade can pierce yon veil. Methinks 'tis a mystic enchanted force.
Somehow the way he says it, I believe it,
says one of the soldiers. And we get a full-page panel here of Baldur, one of the soldiers standing behind him, and Baldur shouting out,
let all stand back! Something doth move within yon funnel. The eyes and ears of Baldur now bear witness. The awesome clang of mighty Mjolnir draws closer! Closer!
So he knows the sound of Mjolnir when he hears it. And there's a big, huge flash, just a huge explosion of light. Apparently just light. It's not like a explosion that destroys things. And the funnel dissipates, and all the buildings are back to where they're supposed to be. And there's a lot of smoke and stuff around. And the soldier's like,
the atomic research buildings, they're back.
Be silent all, says Baldur. Heed thou the footsteps through the mist.
Because footsteps make so much noise and everyone would hear them. And of course it is Thor and Sif. And they come bounding out of the smoke. And Thor has wrapped his arm around Sif's waist and is kind of dragging her along. And she's like,
my lord, we have returned.
Baldur, thou art sorely needed, friend, says Thor.
The funnel was a mystic gateway to the future, says Sif, through which Pluto hath recruited savage mutates to attack the present.
With power such as his, mere humans cannot cope, says Thor.
But we are more than human, says Baldur.
And we shall fight for Earth, says Thor.
And Thunderbolt Ross is like,
look, coming through the vapors.
"'Tis as I feared, says Thor. 'Tis Pluto.
And the soldier's like,
general, who? What are those characters with him? They must be the mutates that Sif referred to. But there's only a handful. What can they do against the forces of Earth?
I would argue that the U.S. Army and even a small group of them like this is not the forces of Earth, but then maybe that's just me. So Pluto and his mutates are spilling out of here, and they're encroaching on the army here.
And Pluto says, let doomed humanity judge us not by our numbers. Aided by the peerless power of Pluto, my savage slaves can conquer a galaxy. Hear me, my mutates. This is the world you are promised, and now it is yours to take.
And Thunderbolt Ross is like, he means it. They're attacking. Fire! And all the soldiers are firing, and their bullets aren't doing any good. They're bouncing off some sort of barrier, and their bullets cannot penetrate the shield.
Now you can see why I can conquer a world with but a handful. Nothing can shatter the barrier of Pluto.
And we see Thor and Sif and Baldur. They get ready to attack.
Nothing save the might of Asgard, says Thor.
And he says, what Pluto can do, Thor can undo.
Let the barrier crumble.
And he shoots an energy beam out of Mjolnir, causes a big red explosion, and it looks like the energy barrier falls, and Pluto and the mutates are all falling over. And Thor goes lunging forward with Mjolnir raised, and he says, "And now into the fray!" And they go jumping in, and we shift scenes. And now we find ourselves in Mount Olympus, of all places, where we see, it looks like, well, obviously Zeus, and he's the big face that we saw on the cover, except he's not green in this picture, is obviously Zeus, and he's got, looks like he's wearing a big red wig. I mean, it really looks like he's wearing a toupee or something. But other than that, I can see what Kirby's trying to do here. He's trying to differentiate Zeus from Odin. It can be really hard with Kirby's art style, and even later when you have other artists drawing these two, they tend to draw these two characters looking really similar. They both are kind of the kings of the gods and blah, blah, blah. The only difference seems to be that Zeus has red hair and Odin has white hair. But here he's actually giving Zeus ringlets and sort of making his hair wavy and, you know, trying to differentiate him from Odin anyway. And one of the Greek gods is coming to see Zeus. Says, "I bring grave tidings, sire. Thy banished brother has secretly departed from his Stygian realm. Now threatens he the planet Earth."
"Pluto attacking the human race?" says Zeus.
"How say thee good, my lord?"
"Thou knowest well, Athena, not even Pluto may defy the will of Zeus. Now shall I summon the primordial forces of the universe entire. The time is come to act."
And there's a big ring of smoke forming around Mount Olympus, which looks in this picture exactly like an enormous green penis. And there's even pink Kirby crackle spood shooting out of the tip of it. It's one of the most phallic things I've ever seen. And we have a full page spread here, and it's a shot of the U.S. soldiers, and they're fighting all these mutates. Now, they look a little bit more like the bat-eared mutates we saw last issue here, but they still do look different. And that's, again, it's the consistency. We can see Thor in the background, but mostly it's just soldiers and mutates fighting. That's basically all that's going on this page. And you turn the page, and there's no dialogue. We just get a little bit of exposition here. "Speaking of action, back on our little fun planet, we find man against mutate, helping liven up an otherwise lackluster day. And now you get the idea. Onward!" As Thor and Pluto prepare for the final confrontation, the mutates prove that power cannot be judged by an army size. Armed with weapons such as men have never known, they plan to level an entire continent. And it's shooting, one of the mutates is shooting this big blue Kirby gun at buildings. And the buildings are, it looks like they're turning into rubber or they're melting or something. And the buildings are kind of melting. It's kind of an awesome panel, I have to say. But they, of course, they're not going to bother with any repercussions from that. You show some jet fighters and they're blowing up the mutates' sky weapons or whatever. And it says, "But mortal though it is, humanity is not defenseless. Nor does it fight alone." And we shift back to where Sif and Baldur are fighting against the mutates.
"To Thor's side, brave Baldur," says Sif.
And Sif's face is drawn purple in this panel, but just chalk it up to a coloring error.
"Aye, and I again, my lady. None who live shall bar the way."
And the two of them are fighting through this big mutate army, and we see the bad guys going flying as they progress towards where Thor is.
"Odin be praised," says Baldur. "'Twas he that sent me hither."
"I pray his deed be not too late," says Sif.
And in the meantime, Thor is fighting Pluto. Pluto has surrounded himself with fire, which I gather is some kind of mystical fire, because Thor shouldn't really care that much about fire, but this looks like it's actually causing him some discomfort.
"Behold, Thunder God, this is why the victory must be mine. None may harm me when I am sheathed in Stygian flame."
Okay, yeah, so it's magical.
"But as you shall shortly see, Pluto may still strike at will."
And Thor has the answer to that. He's like,
"Not while Thor may call upon the power of the storm."
And he bangs his hammer on the ground a couple times, and a big old thunderstorm arises, and lightning shooting around, and just a torrential downpour rain. So apparently this magical fire, even though it's magical, can be just be put out by rain. So, okay. It's kind of weak magical fire. And Pluto's like,
"A torrent of rain, dispelling my flaming shield."
but 'twill avail you not. Though Pluto has lost a mere defense, my power is as great as ever, while you still bear the burden of conscience and youth.
Though 100 burdens be my lot, says Thor, still shall Asgard overcome.
Asgard? 'Tis Odin who is Asgard. You are but a fledgling. But know you, warrior, I am sovereign supreme. My realm is mine. There is no Odin. There is none but Pluto. I am the power and you the pawn. And now, with a single Stygian gesture, I shall rid myself of your interference forever.
And he's waving his hands. Looks like he's getting ready to cast a spell. We see Thor, Sif, and Baldur in the background. They don't look too intimidated by him. All of a sudden, we see a giant face appear behind Pluto, and it yells out, "First thou shalt answer to me!" And Pluto's surprised. He turns on Zeus. It looks like he's shouting, "Zeus!" It looks like Zeus is shouting that.
"Not even Pluto may violate the covenant eternal. Olympus be mine, the netherworld thine. So it is written, so it must it be."
And this big burst of energy, and looks like everyone disappears. Well, not everyone, but Pluto and Zeus are vanishing.
"Back then goest thou, and thy savage servitors as well. Let all be as it was, so saith Zeus."
And we see a giant yellow and red explosion-looking thing. And we see a shot here of Thor and Sif and Baldur. And Baldur's like, "It is ended. They're gone.
The awesome Zeus, methinks he has truly served us well," says Thor.
"I pray we never shall see the day when we must stand against him."
So that's kind of an interesting comment coming from Sif. Like she's anticipating that someday they might have to fight against Zeus. That's kind of interesting. And we have the general coming up. He's like,
"They all vanished as suddenly as they first appeared. What happened there at the very end? What was that sudden burst of light?"
"Verily, for all mankind," says Thor, "'twas a new day's dawning."
"Beloved, what of the being within yon edifice? Did not Pluto say he knew not the measure of his nameless power?"
And we then shift again back to the cocoon-looking thing that we saw last issue inside the Atomic Research Center, which, you know, if I found a giant man-shaped sort of cocoon thing, would I take it to the Atomic Research Center? I don't know. Think about that, folks. Anyway, so we see, the sign, "No admittance, unknown biological specimen." But we see that the sarcophagus is open. And we see this kind of the same image of the cocoon that we saw last time. And we get a little bit of a Stan Lee exposition here.
"Even as Sif's lovely lips finish framing her fateful words, within the silent building, a metal casket slowly opens. As the mysterious figure within begins to breathe, slowly at first, but then faster, 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 until a grasping, groping hands breaks through the crumbling sheath to reveal."
Next issue, The Being Within. And that is Thor number 164. I do have a few things to say about it, but before we do that, I do have a message here from one of our favorite podcasts.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
Moved. We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
So a few things to talk about here. It's interesting, there's really, I don't know, a very clear division between Stan and Jack and some of the dialogue here, where it sounds like Kirby's voice. It sounds very much like Kirby's voice. It sounds like something out of the New Gods or Mr. Miracle. Where Stan is speaking, it's noticeably different. So it's almost like a polarization between the two, where Stan dialogued, you can actually tell Stan dialogued it. He uses his alliteration tricks. He uses all the, you know, the sort of the Stan tropes that he throws into his scripts. And then during the fight scenes, we have this really dynamic Jack Kirby dialogue, like something out of the New Gods. So I find that really interesting. The other interesting thing I find about this issue is the way that they made Pluto look different. I'd like to think that they did that on purpose, that they were trying something new. They wanted to revamp this character. But I get the impression that Jack just kind of forgot how we'd drawn him in the past. I think that his original appearance, Pluto is very striking, and he's a very unique character. Here, not so much. He's a bald guy with semi-pointed ears wearing a superhero costume as opposed to wearing human street clothes the way Pluto is normally shown in Marvel Comics. I think it's very wise that they chose to go back to his original appearance in the next times that Pluto appeared, as opposed to this. The costume looks cool. I mean, sure, I can see that costume being used for a god, an Asgardian, or a Greek god. But mostly it just looks superhero-y. It doesn't look very mythological. And I really find it difficult to believe that the gods wear that much spandex. At least with Thor, you can kind of get the impression that he's wearing some kind of an armor with the circles on his tunic being made of metal or whatever. I mean, much more like he's being drawn now. But I don't see how you could call this anything but a superhero costume. And one that seems somewhat deliberately designed to evoke the Judeo-Christian devil. And I understand that Pluto is a god of the underworld, but I don't know if that's necessarily the right idea. Story-wise, this is kind of a lackluster story overall, and I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. We do have some interesting stuff coming up with this character who is hatching out of the cocoon, and we'll be covering that in upcoming weeks. But by and large, I'm a little bit underwhelmed by this Pluto return. It seems to me to be a little bit like filler. I guess all the series have little stories that seem like this. It seems like we're getting more and more of them as we go on. I definitely get the impression that the peak of Stan and Jack's run on Thor is over, and now we're just kind of in this gradual slide. I think you'll find as we go ahead in future weeks that it becomes a little bit dire towards the end, as the tension between Stan and Jack is getting ready to leave Marvel and all that stuff. It does definitely seem to have an effect on the books that are being produced during that era. And of course, we are getting to be, you know, I think it's 2 years from the time when Kirby left Marvel at this point. All right, so with that, that's about all I have to say this week, folks. Thanks once again very much for listening. You can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also join our Facebook group and join us over there for the conversations and all the memes and pictures that everyone seems to be posting lately, which is cool. Anyway, we're really happy to have you, so please, you know, come by and say hello. So with that, I am off, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer, and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.